Hashem that the Rambam uses is mechuvim. And I have many, many rayas that this is true. I showed it to Talmid the Daily Torah that agree with this, even though sometimes there's difficulties. So tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about, and this is for, this would still go into what I would call Musar, into what does the Rambam use the word chokhmah as. On my telephone, where they have Belecht Chabad Derech, there are 65 chokhmahs in the Rambam. I'm not going to go through all of them right now. We'll be here for a long time. And I don't think that every chokhmah is exactly the same. But what does this mean, that a person can only be zeicha to Keser HaTorah if he spends every night the Talmud Torah v'divrei chokhmah, right? Does it mean Aristotle? What does it mean? What are divrei chokhmah in the Rambam? So let's take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Deis. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey talks about the famous Rambam that discusses what a person should be, the Derech HaMemutza, right? Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, V'aderech zeh sharko ha-deis, ha-chsidim rishen ha-yimaten deis, shal hem b'derech ha-mtsoyis, ne-gishteh ha-tsovis. That's what they did. But he says, if a person, before that he says, V'im disrachik at ha-emtza, if a person gets to the middle, V'yi-yu-anov, nikra chacham, he's called the chacham, the Rambam says, V'zu hi midas chachma. That is the Mida of Chochmah. So just like Deos in the Rambam means Midas, Chochmah is also some form of a Mida. And he calls it Zuhi Midas Chochmah. That it's a Mida of Chochmah if a person is a balanced person in his Midos. Okay? That's the Rambam Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. I'm going to show you some astounding ones of where it becomes even clearer and clearer. And we'll come back soon to Hilchos Deis as well. Take a look in Hilchos Ritzeach, in Perek Hey Halacha Hey. There's a famous Mishnah in Makos and Daf Ches, that the Mishnah says that a person goes to Golos unless he is, if a father kills his son, B'shegig, he goes to Golos. Rambam says, V'chein ha'av shargis b'noi goy la yodeh, ba'me dvarim amurim, k'shargo sh'lei b'shas limud. If he kills him, not when he's learning with him. Oy shem alam de umdis, or he's teaching him umdis acher, she'en tzarech lo, he already has one umdis. Avom yosir b'noi, but if he's trying to give his son Musar, the Lalam de Torah, because he wants to teach his son Torah, Oy Chachma, or he wants to teach his son Chachma. So what does Chachma mean in the Rambam? He wants to teach his son Chachma. Okay? So now, if you look in the Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam, which is brought here, I think, in the back by the Mishnayos, they have Pirush HaMishnah LaRambam on the last page, I think. You see the last page? Ha'av Greilai Dei Aben, Ba'ben Greilai Dei Ha'av. Kisha Ha'av Makes Haben, the father is hitting his son, Sholo Landenu Torah, and he's not teaching him Torah, V'loy mida toiva. He's not teaching the kid a good mida. If he hits the kid and he's teaching him Torah, he's putter. If he hits the kid and he's teaching him a mida toiva, he doesn't go to Golos. Interesting that what the Rambam calls chachma in the Yad, we see over here in the Pirush HaMishnah, that the Rambam says, what is that chachma? Mida Taiva. And where did the Rambam get this from? Turn to the back page. I believe that the Rambam in one place calls Rabbeinu Hananel Rabbi the Rabbi, because Rabbeinu Hananel was the Rebbe of the Rimagash, and the Rimagash was his Rebbe. Rabbeinu Hananel on Chesam Bebeis says, and it's marked off there on the back page, V'ukme Shaloi Hikohu L'lam De Taira V'loi Musar. He wasn't out to teach him Torah or Musar. So Musar, Mida Taiva, is what? This is where the Rambam got this from, because the Gemara just says Torah, right? And the Rambam calls it Mida Taiva, and in the Yad, what does he call it? Chachma. The Gresta Chachma is Midas Taivas. That's the Rambam's using the Lashon of Chachma. Show you another astounding place, where I don't think there's any other way to say pshat. Turn to Hilchos Avodim, Perek Tes, Halacha Hey. That's on the second to the last page. Mutter Lavoi be'ebeknani b'forach. An ebeknani, you can work hard. It was this week's parsha. V'afal pi shadin kach, even though that's the halacha, midas chasidus, it's a midas chasidus, v'darkei chochma. That means philosophy. What's darkei chochma? I'm just saying, pshat in the Rambam. The only thing that makes sense is that's good midas. So the Rambam is defining in all of these places, right, that good midas is a chochma. And now if we go back to our Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, you want to be Zeichet the Keser HaTorah, don't lose a night without Torah and Midas Tavis. This is not my Torah, this is the Rambam's Torah. Isn't it clear? There are many other places too. I just want to give one more over here and then talk a little bit about this. When the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Deis and Perek Hey, Halacha Hey, Halacha Dali, he's talking about how when a person is together with his wife, the way is the proper way to be. And then he says in Halacha Hey, Kol Anoy Minig Zeh, Vaydai Loi Shekidesh Nafshoi V'tihir Atzmoi. V'tikin de'yosov. Elo shim hoyu loy bonim yiyu noyim u'bayshonim ruyin l'chochma u'l'chasidus. He calls that chochma. And because chochma is chochma zatera, and part of chochma zatera is the derech eretz kodma zatera, which is the reason why Hilchos Deis precedes Hilchos Talmud Torah. Ram starts with Yisaydi HaTaira, right? And then goes to Hilchos Deis, right? And take a look now in Perek Hey of Hilchos Deis, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam writes, Talmud Chacham lo yitzayik v'tzavach v'esti burik y'behemis v'chayis. You have not to talk. V'yagbila kaila y'beyayisir al dibur b'nachas m'kol abriyas. U'kshidibur b'nachas yayisir shal yisrachek ha-shiyir k'divri gasei ruach. And he goes on to talk about being menschlich and how Talmud Chacham has to be. And then at the end, the Rambam says, V'lo yira l'chaveri b'shas kol kolosei al yalam enu b'menu v'lo yishana b'diburai. V'lo Yosef, V'lo Yigra, Ere Allah B'divrei Sholem Ki Yosef Hem. Klolo Shodover, Eino Medaber Elo, what is the person talking yet? B'divrei Chochma. Right? He's talking about wie zu sein ein Mensch. Eure Gemilas Chassadim Ki Yaitzu Behem. Replete with so many different places where the Rambam is using the word of Chachma to be referring to Midas Taivas. I can marshal more Rambams as well, but I think that the point is fairly clear that in each of these cases, clearly the Rambam is being mishtamish with the word of Chachma as meaning, as the Rambam himself says in the Pirush HaMishnah, but we assume that in the Pirush HaMishnah, the Rambam said it means the Midah Taiva, and he was chayzer to mean that it's something else in the Yad, when we know that he got it from Rabbeinu Hananel. In other words, it's mamish clear from the Rambam that the Rambam is defining this word of Chachma as being the idea of Midas Taivas, right? So that means that when we think about the fact that we're less than 2 weeks away from Shavuos Haba Aleinu L'Tayva, so and we realize that if every person still, we're all in the process of being zeicha to this concept of what the Rambam calls Kesra Teira, that means that we can't be ma'abed alayla achas without Teira, who v'diri chachma. I have a question, which I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know if it's clear to know the answer to this question, but when the Rambam says over here in Hilchas Talmud Torah that a person should be ma'abed one night, and he should make sure, you know, if he wants to be zeicha, that he should, that the Rambam's lashon is, right, but Talmud Torah vidivri chachma, is it either or is it both? In other words, let's say a person would learn, would every night he would learn Torah, but he wouldn't be Isaac in Divrei Chachma, right? Is it, you either have to learn or do Divrei Chachma, or is the Vav both? I don't have, my sense is that it's both. But I there are cases where I have found in the Rambam that a Vav can be used as an O, and there are cases where the Vav can be used as end. So I don't know that I have 100% raya that the Rambam is saying that that's a necessity of every night that a person has to do it. Hopefully tonight will be yaitz of both, right? But it's certainly a possibility. But the idea that Divrei Chachma means Midas Taivas, right? And working on a Mida is clear from this Rambam and the Rambams that we've shown. So I would like to say something which is that helps me, that I would like to suggest to the Olam. This is a recommendation. This is just something that helps me. I'm saying, in other words, the Rambam says there are places where the Rambam uses the word chachma, like golub chachma b'minyan, where it's the lashon chazal, right? If it's the lashon chazal, and chazal used the word chachma for divrei Torah too, right? But you can't say over here it means divrei Torah because he says Torah. Right, and he does use this word and say it's going a musr in the Pirush HaMishnah. So this seems to be what the Rambam is saying. Yes. Right. I mean, I think that's correct. But not always. In other words, sometimes it's referring to Midas, and sometimes it's referring to knowledge itself. Right. Right. But clearly that's what it means here. That everybody could agree with, right? So, everybody finds different svarim that they find helpful to them. You know, it's an interesting thing. When I was a bacher, I used to wonder, like, why people learn svarim of contemporary Gedolim. What's wrong with the with the old Svarim of Shai Tshuva and Chavis HaVavis and Sos Yishorim, and why do people need Bechtim Elio and Al Yishur? And I found an interesting thing in the Sefer HaYosher Rabbeinu Tam, which is a machlekes, which Rishon wrote it, but a Rishon wrote it. It's Rabbeinu Tam, there's four different deis, I think in the Chidov, who wrote the Sefer. But in the Hagdamah of this Sefer, he writes that if you ask, why did I write this Sefer, if over 200 years ago, already the Chavis HaVavis was written, so he says, that's for that generation, but for our generation, we need this. So if the Rabbeinu Tam or the Sefer Yosher, wherever he is, understood that even though we can gain from Chavis HaVavis, but he needed a new Sefer, so people that have to learn Heintiges Svarim as well is 100% appropriate. So I have a Sefer that I would like to, I don't even know if it's in print today, I think it's been reprinted, but I would like to make an argument why this is a Sefer that everybody should get. And it's not a Musar Sefer directly, but it's the Sefer on the Musar movement, written by Rav Dov Katz, called the Tnuas HaMusar. It has five volumes. He was a contemporary of the Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha, and the Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livracha told me that he knew him well, and that everything in this Sefer is documented, well-researched, and accurate. So I read and constantly reread a lot in the Tnuas HaMusar because it has two things to it. Besides, it has the history starting from Rav Zundel Misalant and Rav Saul Salanter and all his Talmidim and the Alter, who was the Rashiva's Rebbe, and different Bali Musar as well. But besides telling over the different Shitas of Musar that there are, and the Hanhogas HaChaim that they had, there are many, many, many stories that are not well known that are in this Sefer. And what I like about the Sefer in particular, being a Misnaged, is that there are no Moifsim in the Sefer. And even when there are Moifsim that are done by any type of Gedolim, you know, and whether, you know, if they happened, they happened. If they didn't happen, they didn't happen. But even if they did happen, but one thing I know is I ain't doing Moifsim. So what do I gain from reading about Moifsim? To know that there's somebody who was so great that can do a Moifis, right? That's a nice thing, but I don't think that's the bread and butter of what a person should be working on, because no matter how much I work on myself, that's way, way out of my league, right? Masha'en came, you read the greatness of these people and the balance and how they worked in themselves and their life struggles and the stories that they had, that all these Bali Musar had, then you get a much deeper appreciation, you know, for Musar. So in a certain sense, I personally feel that Tnuas HaMusar is the best Musar Sefer for me. Not that I don't try to learn other Musar Sefarim sometimes, but I have it, you know, very, very often I take it out and I read things from it. And I'm just, you know, constantly in the spoil. This is the whole thing of the Chofetz Chaim, the Alter Rebbe Vardik, the Alter Rebbe Kelem, and all the different Bali Musar, and some that weren't well known also, that were also great Bali Musar. And there's five volumes full of so much godless and so much things that we can imitate to a certain degree, you know, that it makes a gewaldig duration. As it happens, my mother's mother, Allah Shalom, who lived with us from the day my parents got married. It was Nifteris. Next week will be her 53rd yard site. I was a teenager growing up with my grandmother together. And my grandmother, Shalom, her father, Shaga Paiva Frank, had the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in their house. She never saw Rabbi Yisrael Salanter because he was Nifter before she was around, but she was the youngest of the Frank daughters. And she saw Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, when she was 6 years old. She used to bring the food up to the Talmidim of Yisrael, and she was 6 years old. She was the youngest kid in the house, so she brought up the food, and she depicted to me how it was when Bitzel Petterberger opened the door in the attic of my great-grandfather's house to take the food. And I remember her telling it distinctly that this is something, you know, I was in my upper teens, and I remember her talking about it. She said, I give a hecher and a shena. He was tall and nice looking. And it was Yadua that from Rosh Chodesh Elul until after Yom Kippur, they didn't utter a word. Only tefillah, divrei Torah, and musar, and no talking whatsoever. So my grandmother depicted that every day when she brought the food up to them, she said, even to a six-year-old girl, he would take it from her, and etzgebeigen halb de guf, and as he bent down halfway his body to say thank you, but didn't utter a word because they didn't talk for that time, not even a thank you. So when you think about it, it sounds so extreme, like, you know, what do you lose from saying a thank you? But it made a big reishim on her that he appreciated a six-year-old kid. This is a story that happened 130 years ago that I heard firsthand, right? My grandmother was Nifter in 1966 at the age of 88. You can do the math. A long time ago. And it made a reishim on her that his hearers and dibur was so great during that time. You know, Reb Yochum, Mashgiach Nemir writes that he says, you know, he learned by Rabbi Yitzchok, so he says, I wasn't on a level where I could even think about not talking for 40 days. Now, these were hecheres like mentioned. But when you think about, you know, so that's not something that I can emulate in terms of, you know, I go 5 minutes without talking is a hard thing, but to go 40 days without saying a word is like beyond belief. But when you think about it, is the shlita that these people had on their mouths after Yom Kippur was so enormous and so powerful because of the extent that they went during that time, you can be sure that they were not the type of people that ever had to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, etc. Because they had such a shlita on themselves that, you know, they always thought before they spoke. Right, so, you know, which, you know, that happens to be something which is a very, very hard thing for us to, you know, to me, that's carved to a mifus too, not to speak for so long. But just the idea when you read about these people, and especially to me, as personal yachas, the fact that my grandmother was zeicher to see him. So I think it's an important thing to share. And for those of us that were able to spend time with the Rashiv Tarnabach with Abed Slavi, and when you hear the myriad of stories of super duper sensitivity that the Altam Slabatka had to Talmidim, and the balance that he had, how he dealt with the Talmidim. I just recently told over a story which I think is like, if you have to say it, one story encapsulates the genius and sensitivity of the altar that I'd like to close with, is a story that is written by the Baal Maisa himself. Since he wrote it about himself, I guess it's not an Yisrael Lashon Hara, but the one that wrote it was the Sri Deyesh of Hiel Yankov Weinberg. And when he was a young bacher, probably 16 or 17, he was a great Ilui. And there was someone who was visiting at the time, was another of the great Talmidim of Rousseau Slanter, Naftali Amsterdam, was visiting Slabotka for a tkufa. And he used to go and talk and learn in Naftali Amsterdam. And he got friendly with him. He was probably a bacher of 16 or 17 years old. And he's in Luisha Bacher. And he told him, Naftali Amsterdam, that he gets so orangutan in learning that sometimes he forgets to daven mincha. And Naftali says, Vakes mincha? Like, he couldn't imagine that a bacher could, you know, rizir shmai, how could he forget that mincha? So he quickly said, Ichmein b'tzibur. But it wasn't true. But he was just so embarrassed that Maftali couldn't be sayable that he shouldn't have mincha. So he felt terribly guilty. He was a kid, and he said something that was wrong. He was very close to the altar. So he came into the altar and he told him what happened. And the altar told him, you have to go to Maftali and tell him what happened. So he said, it's a busha. So he said, look, you don't have to go, but if you don't go, don't come back to me ever. I can't have a Talmud that says sheker. So you have a choice. You want to keep up your shakas with me, you go to our Maftali, which you did. You don't want to keep up your shakas with me because it's too hard, okay. So Hatzlacha Rabba, just don't come back. So the altar knew that the Kriyankov cherished the relationship. So he swallowed his pride and he went back to tell Reb Naftali that he said a sheker. Right before he arrived at Reb Naftali's door, a bacher tapped him on the back and said, the altar told me that you should not go in to Reb Naftali. He said, what? He said, as soon as he left the office, the altar called me and said, follow him. If he's on his way to Reb Naftali, as soon as he gets to the door, stop him and don't let him go. So he was kind of puzzled. So he went back to the altar and he said, I don't get it. It was so important to the Rebbe that I tell him that I said a sheker, that I was prepared to do it. And now you stop me from going in. So he said, I want you to understand the importance of being honest. And therefore, you have to be ready to do it. But I was chasing your covenant, and I knew it would be a tremendous busha for you to tell Reb Naftali, who held you in such high esteem, that you said a sheker. So I figured that you'll get the courage to do it, you're ready to do it, you'll learn your lesson, and I was bizarring your cover. You think of Derech Mamutza of balance, how people that were other can Torah and Yerushalayim, that they could have such fantastic balance to teach a lesson to a Talmud that he wrote over in the Sridi Eish in the fourth Chelek because he was so spoiled from how his Rebbe was Zahir in his cover, and at the same time how the Rebbe gave him the Hadracha of making sure that, you know, you realize what Midas HaEmes is. So, you know, I don't know that we can emulate such a thing and have such balance in how we treat our children and friends, etc. But when you hear stories like this from people that were, on one hand, so stark about the way you have to be and so balanced about needing to cover somebody else, so this to me goes into the Divrei Chochma that the Rambam is referring to. That's part of being kind and Mizrech of the Kesser HaTorah. Good Yom Tov.
And she remembered how each of them used to pick their theme.
Got it. Thank you so much. Wonderful.
Shalom.
Shalom. My suggestion was, why can't that goofy be the makor of the Rama?
What?
Dino all through initially.
I'm just saying, but normally when you hear it over in Musar Shmuz, you only hear about the Talmud Torah. Nobody talks about this. But it's the Rambam says it. I think all these Rambams are, there's no stretch in any of these, no? Especially, the, you know, the one in the Hilchos Ritzeach, no suffix.
Huh? So it's a beautiful for Ben Chanano.
Right. Ben Chanano, you see. That's probably where he got it from.
At the very beginning of the Rambam, Amar HaChochmas, Rabbi Seif there too.
What? I just started working on Chochmah itself to figure out which one.
Rebbe's saying in Divrei Chochmah, not Chochmah.
Yeah, Divrei Chochmah for sure, but there it says Oy Torah Oy Chochmah, but I think in different places he used it in different ways. But in all of these places, he doesn't mean philosophy. That's for sure. I'm saying this doesn't fit. It's Darkei Chochmah, it's Midas Chassidus, Darkei Chochmah by an Eved. That's not a philosophical thing, it's a Midas thing. No? I mean, I don't think anything else makes sense. You know, there may be other, you know, I just started working on this law. I know this idea of Chochmah, of a couple of these Rambams I knew, but a couple of them were, there's someone's to Mr. Ross, I didn't work them all out yet.
The Yeshurin is out now?
In Lamed Tess. It's in the one before the last one. I didn't make it for the next one for Shemesh of Hashem. I'll show you one over here that you can go mamash out of your mind to see how clear this is. And the Rambam. If you take a look at this, is there a Navi over here? This is mamash unbelievable. Everybody that sees this and is.
Which Navi?
Yoshua.
Yoshua?
Yeah. The Rambam writes in Hilchus, the end of Hilchus Tshuva. This is mamash phenomenal. Why does the Rambam use the words Ahavas Adon Kol Haaretz? Was just poetic? Why does he use that word? Okay, so if you take a look in Tanakh, you will find that Adon Kol Haaretz is used in two psukim in all of Torah, in all of Tanakh, in Sefer Yoshua, in Perek Yud, in Perek Gimel, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph.